just wanted to share with you all a dream I had two nights ago. It was a really vicious attack on my home by three men, and it took me quite a while and discussions with my mum to realise it was absolutely a spiritual warfare attack, and it was just saying that, you know, this is absolutely my home, and it was absolutely the devil saying, you know, your home is going to be attacked and you should be afraid. And I just knew I was strong within, and I wasn't afraid, and I was going to refuse for my home to be attacked. But I just wonder if someone here feels like they can pray for the people out there who do feel attacked and feel very afraid of coming back, and of the vulnerability of coming out and standing in your faith, and of just being out in the coronavirus world. And I don't feel like I can do that prayer, but if somebody else could do that. I just want to pray for people in our church community that may be feeling under attack at a spiritual level. God, we know that there is spiritual attack out there, but that you have defeated everything, you can conquer everything. You are our protector, you are our provider, you are our comforter, you are our strength. You come to us in the deepest of troubles, and you draw us to fresh, clear waters, into pastures. And God, just pray that over anybody that's feeling any anxiety, any fear under spiritual attack, Lord, that you would just bring them into that place that you prepared for them, that beautiful place, that perfect place that you have for us as followers of you. And God, I just pray for your strength. If I have you, I fear no enemy. Who can be stronger than you, God?
Yes, sir.
And God, just pray for courage. I pray that your courage would just be with those that are feeling.
Yes, Lord.
Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Yeah. Do not fear, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Lord, I just pray that we'll be holding on to that.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, that as a church family, that we can spur one another on, as I prayed earlier, Lord, that we can see and find and recognize those that are struggling, and that as a church family, we can just love one another, spur one another on.
Yes, Lord.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can replace it.
as we worship you. Death cannot hold you. There's nothing that can stand against you. And that is why we are in faith. That is why we are not in fear. That is why we have confidence. Because of who you are, because of all that you have achieved. Not because of us, but because of anything. And we do. We worship you. We rejoice at coming home to be in the household, with the household of believers. Experiencing and knowing the hope that you have won for us as a people together. We worship you, King Jesus. Amen. Amen. Great. Go grab a seat. It's good. It is good to be back. It's good to be with you. And energized, feel free to make your way. Alice, this is technically Alice's first Sunday with us here in Haven. She kind of joined us over lockdown, and this morning she's on worship team and energised, so she is part of the family, well and truly. Thanks, Alice. Thanks, Pete. It is great to be here this morning, and as Grace Haven't together, throughout this year, I don't know if my clicker's working, Richard. Is it? I'm not getting anything. Do you want to just click on? I'll give you a nod periodically. The faithful giving, actually, I'll just unplug this. It's not an annoying buzz. The faithful giving of the people of Grace Church Haven has been remarkable, and God has really provided for us through this year. And it's always been that, really. You know, we've always depended on that. It's how we do everything. It continues to be the case. I know many of us give already in various ways. Just encourage you to keep doing that out of a place of faith. And we haven't got... We're going to do an offering, as we would have done, but there'll be a basket on the way out. You've got the envelopes around, which I'm sure you've all missed such things. They're back. What's not back is the What's On sheets. And instead we have these, you remember What's On, the things of the past, remember What's On sheets, all that stuff. I don't know, we call it connections cards. They're just a bit more simple. They're on your chair, and you know, if you do have anything that you would like us to pray for, you still do fill that in and drop it in on your way out at the end. If you want to sign up to various things, that's your way to do it at the moment. You know, of course, it's one way among others. You can, if you're on Church Week, savvy with that, you can do it all there, or you can just, talk to me or someone else. Guy is away this week. He's a bit gutted to not be around, but he will be back next week. And I've got some humming, haven't we? We're all, PA's a bit... Oh, is that better? Or is that just because I've moved back? Is it better or not?
No.
hang on, this one. It's not that. It was, we just have to make do with it. It's fine. We'll live. Oh, is that better? All right.
I think it might have been the bass. It's the cello, I think.
Yes. We're starting this preaching series. You know, we... kind of just calling the series Home, and you know, we've been talking about coming home. I can't believe it didn't occur to me, this link between how football is coming home. It really didn't. It was actually, who was it? Did you say it earlier, Pete? Someone said it, and I was like, oh my goodness. And then Mel obviously shared that wonderful song. What a great summer. It's coming home in more ways than one. But yes, we're talking on home, and just looking... the heart behind that is that we want it to feel, all of this, like coming home and not going to work. And probably takes some explaining. It can be easy to get that wrong. Many of us this morning, many of you have worked hard to make this happen. There is a lot of work required. It takes effort, but for it to not be like going to work, but rather coming home, is a very different experience. How's it? How are we doing? Is that PowerPoint switching over, Richard, or not? Okay. Well, I might come and have a fiddle in a mo, but we'll see. I want to explore what it means, home, coming home. We're going to spend 3 weeks doing that in our preaching in this series we're just calling Home. And it has been an interesting year, in many ways, but in thinking about what it means to be at home has a whole new experience level and meaning of being at home. And yes, kind of think back to March 2020. Many of us, most of us, I think, loved it for a bit, and it was all you get to be at home that much more. There's a slower pace of life and be with family, a time to rest. I don't know when it was. We all got fed up after a while, and wanted to go out. We kind of allowed out, and then we had to go back and forth. And it's been that kind of year. Homeschooling was a thing, and that quickly ran its course of enjoyment, certainly in our household. Is anyone still working from home here? I had a day at home this week, though. First, we kind of had some temperature in the house, and so we had some tests, but it was all fine. But it's quite nice, having done it for a lot and then not done it for a while, it's quite nice to be back. I do like being at home. And as we do this and explore what we mean by wanting to feel like coming home, we're going to be looking at rest this week. That's the emphasis. And really, that's the emphasis throughout the series and beyond. When you think of going home, that's kind of what you assume, isn't it? You go home, and that's where you rest. But also next week, talking about responsibility and the sense of when you're at home, you take ownership. You make things happen in your own home, and also being real on the third week, which when we're at home, it's easier to be real more than anywhere else, I think. And rest this week, that is inextricably linked to responsibility and being real. You know, if you're going to rest, you need to get things done in order to be able to truly do that. And being real, you can't rest without being real. And as I say, that is really our, as a church in Haven, across our sites, our emphasis for the year is a need for rest and recovery. It is a year that has been significant, and there's a need for some rest on the back of it. And that is possible to do like nowhere else. I'm thinking that the heart is putting on your kind of proverbial joggers or whatever it is that you put on when you go home and go comfortable. I actually went round to Gordon's the other night and just turned up out of the blue, and he was in his pajamas, which is fine. He was fine with that. But that's what we're doing. We're putting on whatever it is, putting on your PJs, I just put on joggers and chill out. I was actually with Commission, the family church that we're part of, with a bunch of leaders this week online. Guy Miller, who leads it, was talking, and just talking about much of the things we are talking about coming out of lockdown and meeting again. And he had this phrase, which I just found really helpful, to really emphasise and embrace more mess and less dress. And I think that's much. This morning, it's all a bit. We're getting through it in many ways, it's all a bit messy. We're figuring it out, how we get through all of this again. And actually, there's something great in that. We're embracing the mess, and we're having more mess and less dress. We're not all dressed up. We're not being fake. We don't have to be. We don't have to pretend that we've all, had a lovely year in every way. And I'm going to explore the way we do that this morning, what we mean by rest and coming home. We're going to be in Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. If you do have a Bible, or if you have a phone, let me encourage you to grab it out. I will put it up on the screen, but then we'll kind of reference back. I do think it's helpful to have it out, to hear God speaking, and to be able to just track in a more deliberate way through it. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, I'll read from. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he starts by saying, in verse 11, says, "Therefore, remember that formerly You who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We're going to think, as I say, about coming home and rest, and can summarise the message of this morning really by saying we can only truly rest when we are at home with God and with his people. We can only truly rest when we are at home with God and with his people. I hope that it's clear when I say that, I don't mean being here at Warblington School, you know, with these lovely plastic chairs and all that. That's not what I mean when I say being at home with God and with his people. I mean more deeply than that, as we'll explore and see. And there is a progression in this passage with what has happened to us as God's people, where we were and then where we are and where we are going. And it starts by saying we were separate from God and from his people. We were separate from God and from his people. As we explore what it means to say we can only truly rest when we're at home with God and with his people. It doesn't mean, as I say, that when we were not meeting here at Warblington, we can't read the Bible like that. That's not how it goes. Let me just read those verses 11 and 12 and explore what they mean. So it starts, therefore, remember that formerly, so those words, remember that formerly, it's remember how this used to be the case. It's not anymore. Formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Probably that's all of us here. I won't ask, but maybe there is some with Jewish descent in us. But probably we're all of the uncircumcised Gentiles. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. You were separate. You were apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were excluded. You were separate and foreigners. And then the result of this exclusion is that you were without hope and without God in the world. That is us. No hope, no God. That is where we were. And it's interesting that the passage, it starts with exclusion from God's people. That's the emphasis, not actually from God himself. The emphasis is you weren't allowed into God's people. Not only were you not allowed to be with God, you weren't allowed to be with his people. Inclusivity, or you know, exclusivity, is a big thing in the world at the moment, and being included and being inclusive is a high priority from the perspective of the world. And if you're not inclusive, then you're the one who is excluded, and it's all kind of hard to get your head round. Ultimately, it is impossible, just logically, it's impossible to be inclusive without also being exclusive. To say that there are some people who are allowed in, you necessarily need to say some people are not allowed in. Or it may not be impossible, but it's meaningless, if not impossible. And it is important, we as God's people, as the church, we want to be welcoming, but there is a clear exclusivity about the people of God. There are those who are in the people of God, and there are those who are excluded from the people of God. And all of us were. All of us were excluded from his people and also from God. St. Augustine, very famous church father, said very famously, "You have made us," you want to put that up, Richard, "you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." You have made us for yourselves, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So this former state of us being separate from God's people and from God meant that we could not rest. Our hearts could not rest when we are apart from God and his people. And this is all, it is important that we remember, this is all before Jesus. This is past tense. This has gone now. As Christ has come, all of this is no longer true. Jesus has changed everything. It remains the case for those who don't follow Christ, who don't make him their Saviour and Lord, that they are separate from God and his people, but not for those who follow Jesus. And everything, you can skip on, Richard, a couple. Everything changes in verse 13. You get this big, wonderful, but now. There's a few big but moments in Ephesians. This is a great example in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away, past tense, have now been brought near by the blood of Jesus. There's two big things, and then verses 13 to 20 really outline this. Two big things to draw out. First, we are now with God. It says in verse 18, "For through him," that's through Jesus, "we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." It's a wonderfully Trinitarian verse. For through him, through the Son, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Everyone who's ever been part of God's people now is only part of God's people because of Jesus. No one gets in any other way. It says in, let me read again, verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away, being brought near by the blood of Christ." Verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." He's talking about the division between those in the Jewish camp and those in the Gentile camp, the non-Jewish. We are now one in Christ. There is no longer any barrier. So where it said we were without God and without hope, that is changed. We are now with hope. We are with God. I saw a great little video this week, a guy called Alistair Begg, a preacher, and talking about the man on the cross next to Jesus, who Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And kind of painting a picture of him arriving in heaven and, you know, the angels saying to him, "So what do you know about justification by faith then?" And he's like, "I've got a clue what you're talking about. I don't know anything about it. And so what did you do in your life to get here?" I did nothing. I don't know how. And he says, he's got this great line, "So how on earth are you here?" And he says, "I'm only here because the guy on the middle cross said I could come." And it's this wonderful line that is true for any one of us. We're only in God's people because the man on the cross said we could come. And now we are with God. As his channel, it's a joy in gathering together. We know the presence of God in a particularly manifest way. And he is with us here. But also God is with us tomorrow when we go about our lives again, whatever that looks like right now. So the first thing is that we are now with God. That is what's happened. And the second is that we are now part of, we are with God's people. We are included. And this
this church in Ephesus is having some division, and the Jews and the Gentiles are becoming kind of two different groups. And the Jews have got history as being part of God's people, and the Gentiles haven't, but now they're all the same. There is no disunity, there should not be any, there's no division. Christ unites us, and it's true for them, and it's true for us. We are united in Jesus. We are included in Jesus. There should be no hostility among us. It's not just community. It's not just that we are community. Obviously we are, but it's not just that. It's not even just equality. As the world is demanding rightfully equality, but we don't just have that. The Bible, the New Testament, doesn't really talk in those terms significantly. It's unity. We are united together. Jesus is the cornerstone. It is all built on him. It's held together in him. And we in this room are diverse, right? There's a mix, and some of those who are with us and have gone into the kids groups and the young people. We're a mix in age, in our backgrounds, in the things we like or dislike. Some of us are not interested in the Euros. Some of us are, and there is this, we're all different, but we are united in Jesus. And there's a joy in our diversity. It's not something to be fought against. It's something to embrace, the unity in our diversity. And then verse 9 of the passage really is our key verse of this series. If you have got it open, do have a look. Verse 19. Verse 19 says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." Consequently, right, as a result of the man on the middle cross, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. We are now with God and we are part of his household. There's one benefit of the last year is the use of the word household. We all know what that means in a different way. It's in the Bible a lot, and I think previously it just wasn't really in our vocabulary, but now it is. And the New Testament is saying we are one household, one family. We know that doesn't mean a building now. We know it means we are a community. I'm not sure that the government would see it that way if we, you know, tried to claim that we were one household and went around doing things together. But the Bible says that we are a household together, and members of his household. And that has been, it is true now as we're back together in heaven. It has been true over the last 15 or so months. We've not been able to gather, but we have remained a household together. We've still been members of that household. It's been sad to not give expression, but it's not removed the definition of it. Because of those two things, because now we are with God and now we are with his people, now we can truly rest. Again, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Now we have rest in God because we can come home. And there's this sense of the kingdom of God as well, and how it is now. The kingdom of God has come, and it also is not quite yet. The kingdom of God has not quite come. And ultimately, our true home, and it is important we understand this, our true home is in heaven, is in glory with God, with his household. But gathering together as his people is the closest thing we are going to get to that on this earth. And there is nothing else like home. I don't know what it is for you that you know those moments you're enjoying something, you think, oh, this is rest. This is me resting and switching off. Whether it's, you know, holiday, being out, retirement, you might be thinking of those things. It might just be top quality coffee that you just know, or even a kind of a personal Bible study. You might be reading the Bible on your own, but there is nothing that ultimately can provide rest to your heart and soul like being with God and with his people, being part of
his household and at home with it. And there is a sense in which we should have missed being together. I think most of us have. And sometimes we could have been surprised by that. People would have been, I just really miss it. And, well, of course we have. Of course it's not been right that we've not been together as his household. And I am careful to say that, you know, I don't want to overdo it by saying that we are now at home, because we're back here in Warblington School, and our home is in heaven. But I don't want to underplay it or downplay it as well. And I don't know if you, when you walk in the building, there is a sense in which this feels like home now. And because right now, Warblington is where the household of God's people gather and worship God. So there's nothing special in these buildings, in these walls. We, you know, I don't have to tell you that. And yet there is something about it. We are here in the place that we have been worshipping or had been, and now we are back. There's something there. And it gives expression. We are giving expression to that being one household. That is where we are now. We are with God and with his people. And then the third thing is we understand what it means when we say we can only truly rest when we're with God and with his people. Is the end of this passage is talking about how we are being built up to God and to one another. There is a progression in that. So it has been done, right? It's past tense. We are with God and with his people. And also, at the same time, somehow, it is being done. We are in the process of being built up to God and to one another. And again, that those two things are there. It's the closeness, not just to God, but to his people. Verse 21 says, in him, that's Christ, in him, the whole building. And we know, right, that's not physical building, that's the household, that's the people. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So we are in him, we are with God, and we are also rising. There is a sense of we, as come together, we rise to God, we become closer to him, and we are being built to one another. Verse 22 says, in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We are being joined together. We are growing in our unity as his people. And that has been much harder for the last 15 months to experience that, to know being joined together. And I think as Pete was praying, online has helped, and you know, Zoom and YouTube and all that has helped, but gathering is much better. And both of those things are true. It's kind of like if you close. I remember when we first went into lockdown and thinking about if your loved one moves away, you miss them. But if they moved to Australia or something, you would Skype or whatever it would be, and do the Skype. No one would ever say, "Oh, you know, I can do Skype now, so forget it. Don't ever need to see this person again, because we just Skype every time." But at the same time, no one says, "Oh no, I don't really do Skype. I'll just see you in person when I see you, or whatever. I'll see you next time." And if your loved one's moved away, and you can compare Skyping with someone with going on a date at a restaurant or something, and they're not even comparable in terms of how much community and relationship can come out of it. And so for us, right, it's been harder. It's been better than nothing having online stuff. But to put it into the same category as being in person with one another is just silly, really. These two things, our relationship with God that I've been talking about and our relationship with one another, they are inextricably linked. And so as we say, yeah, our community has suffered for the last 15 months. It also should not be surprising that therefore our relationship with God may have been hindered as well. Our vertical relationship, as it were, is affected directly by our horizontal relationships with one another and vice versa. But I've spoken to a few people over the last year who are just saying, I'm just struggling, you know, with praying or with spending time with God in a way that I didn't before. And you think, well, totally to be expected. Totally to be expected. Of course, when you are gathering here on a Sunday with God's people and worshipping Him, that changes your whole week. It changes your whole lives. There is something inextricably linked with our relationship with God when it comes to our relationship with one another. Ultimately, everyone who is in Christ, ultimately, we are at home with God and with His people. We are included. They have made their home there. It is true. But there is also something. We are being built up to God and to one another. And gathering obviously plays a significant role in that. That's the thing for us. It can only truly rest when we're at home with God and with His people. And that's what our kind of heart and our vision is for the rest of this year, really, is to be at home and to rest in it. And what we can do is to build ourselves up to God and to one another. There is a thing to do there. And we do it, I think, by focusing on rest and recovery and rebuilding and healing. This year has taken its toll. A lot of this is obvious, right? Some of the ways we don't even know about yet, I don't think. It's only as we kind of go through the next few weeks and months, maybe years, that we will realise how much this year will have taken its toll, how significant it may have been. And I think that would be true, even if you have enjoyed the last year, even if you have found lots of positives from it, you know, at the very least, that will mean that getting back into kind of this new normal, whatever, will take some getting used to, maybe difficult in some ways. And as a church, like, just say we're not going to be launching any sites or anything this year. We're not going to be launching any huge initiatives or whatever. But the focus is on gathering and resting, taking time to recover. So it's a time to be enjoyed, right? Enjoy the summer as God's people. Enjoy the rest as that we can experience as brothers and sisters. As we do, kind of take some time to reflect. We'll look forward, sure, but we're also not going to be ignorant of the past and everything that may have gone on in your own hearts. And any year, right, things happen. It's Aiden, right? Baby Aiden, who is not really a baby. Jenny had a baby last July. Isn't that amazing? You know, it's so exciting to meet him. But it's a helpful picture, I think, of how these things happen every year. And you've got all of the other stuff on top of it. And we're all in that place where we've got our own things. We've all got things we work through in any year. But you add in all that's been going on. It doesn't make it easier. I'm aware that as we come back and, you know, start doing worship, whether, you know, even when we are allowed to sing and doing kids' work and setting up and all of that, it's going to take some getting used to. I would be silly to say we can just slip back in as if we'd never left. I played football the other week for the first time in about a year. I really enjoyed it, but it's not like I just slipped back into exactly where I was, right? It took me some time to get into it. In fact, you know, after I didn't get into it, ultimately. Like, it would take another few weeks of playing before I really got used to it in the same way. But, you know, it's not to say, like, I won't do it then. Everything we enjoy, if you're not going to do it for 15 months, it's going to take some getting used to. We don't need to be embarrassed about that. We don't need to pretend that we're fine. There'd be no benefit in that. It's true for anything. And there's a sense of Sabbath about this season. God himself rested on the seventh day. I think it's maybe the third of the Ten Commandments. Might be wrong, but to honor the Sabbath, to have rest, it is a command of the Bible. It's not like, you know, the Bible thinks it's a good idea. It is a command that we do that. Probably there's just two main reasons, I think, on that. One, it reminds us that we're not God, that we need rest. We need time to recover. God doesn't, right? He doesn't get wounded in that way. He doesn't need time to heal, but we do. And so resting is good for that. And the second, I think, it does make us more fruitful. It's not, if we don't rest, we're not going to be more fruitful because we're doing more work. It doesn't work like that. We need time at a slower pace in order to recover. And Sunday, I think, particularly for people like myself and kind of working in this world of church, people can talk about Sunday as like game day, right? It's like the day we get on and this is when we make it all happen. And it is easy to slip into that thinking, and, you know, but not just for those who kind of do it as a job, but for all of us. And it's an unhealthy way. I understand it does take some work, and there is a sense in which much of my week is gearing up to a Sunday. And for many of you, much of the, you will be doing lots of prep for you know, and thinking about, what do I need to be doing? But ultimately, Sunday is a rest day, right? We're here. It does take some work, but we are here to rest. Again, not to overdraw the parallel, but similar, whatever fun activity you do, like football or whatever, it's work, but it's rest. And there is peace and joy to be had in it. We all know it takes effort, right? The kids workers, they know that. Anyone who's done anything to make this happen, we know it takes effort. But I do believe it will be restful. We will be fruitful for it. We rest at home like nowhere else. And so if you're a guest, if we have guests come, we want to make guests feel as at home as we possibly can, you know, like you would in your own house. Someone comes and says, hey, make yourself at home. And that's something to aim for. Also knowing, as we all know, when you're in someone else's house, you know you're not in your own house. You can only ever be so at home in someone else's house, however well you know that person. And we all know as well that managing your own household takes effort. And it's not something that happens on its own. But no one says it's not worth it. I just don't bother with cleaning or washing anything. I just don't, because we do, because it makes our experience of home more enjoyable. And there is also a reality, if you're not a guest at Grace Church, if you are a member of this household, this is your home, right? So make yourself at home in every sense. Rest here. Own this place. Own this community. Be part of it. Yeah, put your joggers on, right? Put your PJs on and relax. Let's rejoice at what God has done for us. We are with our brothers and sisters. This is coming home. We are at home together. Pete, why don't you come up and why don't we all stand? I hope it's clear enough what we're talking about as we talk about home and coming home and resting at home. We are with God. We are with his people. We are included. And so therefore, we can now rest. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. We can now rest in God. And with one another, we can do it in a new way as well. Let's enjoy it. Let's worship in every sense of the word. Let's play our part, right? There's a thing. Build yourselves to one another and to God. There's a thing to do to help your own experience of coming home and also the experience of the person next to you, of your brother and sister coming home. Let me pray for us, and then Pete's going to lead us in a song. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, for Jesus who died on a cross so that the dividing wall of hostility is broken down between not just two people groups, but between us and you, God. And now we are with you We are not without God. We are not without hope. We are with God. We are with hope. We are at home with God and included in His household, His people. We rejoice that we are with you, God, and we rejoice that we are with one another as brothers and sisters here. I just pray, God, that you, actually right now, would you just touch our hearts, Lord? Would we have that sense of feeling at home, of feeling like, yeah, this is the place where I can rest like nowhere else. This is the place that is good for my soul like nowhere else is. I just pray, encourage my brothers and sisters, God, in every, you know, sense of that word, that we'd go from this place in a bit and just feel full of joy and faith and courage and bravery. And just as Sue was testifying and knowing, we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear anything as we go out, because we are full of the Spirit. We take courage in God and refuge in God. I just pray for a rest and a peace right now, but also over the course of these weeks and months ahead, Lord, that we would flourish spiritually, that we would blossom, just as the, you know, all the grass and green stuff everywhere is going crazy this year. Would we go crazy spiritually? Would we just blossom beyond what we can contain or expect, really, in you, Lord? We love you. We love one another. We want to build your kingdom here and experience and know your kingdom here. We pray for your glory, and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So amen together. Go on, Peter.
Don't let me fall.
Be with us, God. Abide with us as we abide with you in this abode, in this home. We love you. We glorify you. We love the privilege of gathering in your name as your people. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Really, thank you. It sounds such jargon, doesn't it? But really, thank you for coming and being here. It's so great to worship with you. We are supposed to leave relatively promptly. Do grab your children if you need to do that. You know, obviously we can go outside and just... Oh, is it raining? But yes, and if you've got a connection card to slip in or any giving envelope, feel free to drop that in the basket as you go. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Hopefully to see you again next Sunday. Bless you.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
You're such a legend.
Go on.
I was going to go say something.
Sorry, mate.
I haven't got the balls or the confidence. Like,
you can,
I always look at my phone and, like, talking about rest, you know.
Yeah.
Before being our refuge. So I was going to say a bit of a song, but...
Next week, mate.
Maybe one day, mate.
Next week, mate. That's the day.
Yeah, mate. But no, it's... Quality, mate.
Thanks, mate.